But this is the week that we look back to when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ went there to Calvary's mountain and hung on that cross for our sins. And it is in John 19, verse 30, as he's hanging on that cross and he's giving out his last instructions there in that, of the previous verses to his apostles and to his mother. Finally, he comes down to the end of his life. And there in verse 30 in John chapter 19, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, they offered him vinegar to drink, it said in the previous verse. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. You know, what a passage. You'll read that whole chapter about his crucifixion. What a passage of scripture. What a passage. Did you know that a lot of people don't know this story? They don't know it. I didn't know it. I had never heard about the crucifixion of Christ. Oh, I'd seen him hanging on a cross in a picture around somebody's neck, but nobody ever told me about that. I never understood why that was so. Until I heard it plainly in a sermon one day that Jesus died for my sins. And it was all about me, for God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son. So therefore, when God let somebody give me that good news, it opened my eyes, number one, to my sinful, lost condition. This passage, read this chapter, get somebody to read it that's lost. This chapter of scripture opened my eyes to what great things God had done for me in the past. And for whoever will receive his son. And how Jesus finished the work of salvation on Calvary's cross 2020 years ago now. He finished the work. I always thought, well, if I'm going to go to heaven, I've got to work my way. I've got to quit this and start this and start this and stop that and start this and stop that and start this. Maybe if I was lucky at the judgment, my good works would outweigh my bad. But that's not the way it worked. It's not by works of righteousness. It's not by works of righteousness, he said, which we have done. But according to his mercy that he saved us. And he displayed his mercy there on Calvary's cross. God poured out his wrath on his son so that we wouldn't have God's wrath poured out on us. Simply by believing in what Jesus said there in verse 30. Verse 30. He said, "It is finished." Now salvation's finished. Salvation's finished. There's nothing you can do to be saved. There's nothing you can do to be more saved. And there's nothing you can do to stay saved. All that was paid for 2020 years ago on the cross. If you read the whole chapter, you'll hear the words of Christ as he spoke while he was hanging there on the cross, and you'll hear the cry of forgiveness, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." And you'll hear the cry of salvation from that penitent sinner hanging beside him who said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Now, and he said, Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." You'll hear a cry of provision concerning Mary and John. The cry of desertion, as he asked, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And then you'll hear a cry of suffering as Jesus said, "I thirst." And then after they give him the vinegar, you'll hear the cry of victory. "It is finished." That shook the gates of hell. That shook heaven. That shook earth. If you'll go back and read it, you'll see there was a great earthquake. That was the most powerful cry that has ever been said on planet earth. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, clothed in human flesh, dying in the place of sinners so that we could be free and go to heaven. And then he paid it all. And when it was all paid, he said, "It is finished." And he gave up the ghost and died. Boy, what a story. Now, because of that, we can have victory through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Nothing we can do. As the old songwriter said, "Nothing in my hand I bring, only to the cross I cling." Now, I don't know about you, but that gives me chill bumps. Now, what does that mean? This meant that all the prophecies concerning his life have been fulfilled. All the prophecies have been fulfilled. This meant the Bible is true. It's true because God's true. It's true because if God predicts a thing, it will come to pass. Now, I want you to notice some of these prophecies. I'm not going to turn to them for sake of time, but you listen to what these prophecies are that were fulfilled that day by Jesus being nailed to that cross. He was born of a virgin. He was a descendant of David. He would be named before he was ever born. He would flee to Egypt. He would be born in Bethlehem. He would have a forerunner, John the Baptist, in the spirit of Elijah, come before him. He would cause the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the blind to see, the dumb to speak. Now listen, these are prophecies that have been fulfilled by him on dying before he, and while he was dying there on the cross. He was despised and rejected of men. He was hated without a cause. He was betrayed by his friends. He was forsaken by his disciples. He was led to the slaughter as a lamb, and he was numbered among the transgressors, and soldiers would gamble for his garments. And when he said it's finished, we know all things had all come to pass, every bit of it. He fulfilled all prophecy. And when he said it's finished, that means he was saying, I'm finishing the prophecies that God gave to people concerning me so that you can see I'm real. And he finished them all. Now, this is what that meant. That meant that, number one, his sufferings were over. He was called a man of sorrows. He was the one who suffered at the hands of men and Satan and even God himself. God said he poured out his wrath on his son. He was one that God bruised him and forsook him on the cross because he bore our sins. His friends and his enemies inflicted pain upon him. It was not just on the cross, but all through his life he suffered so that he could be the fulfillment of prophecy. He lived his whole life under the shadow of the cross. He knew it was coming. At the wedding of Cana, when his mother asked him to help in the wedding to get the wine had run out, you know the story. He said in John 2:4, my time is not yet come. That's what he was talking about. Now, when he was talking to Nicodemus, he told Nicodemus that the Son of Man must be lifted up as a serpent in the wilderness, talking about himself. On the Mount of Transfiguration, when he talked to Moses and Elijah, he spoke to them, it says, concerning his death. When Jesus cried, it's finished, it meant that all suffering was fulfilled and now over. And he had finished what God had sent him to do. It is finished. It meant that the work of redemption, our being saved, the plan of salvation that God sent to men was finished. The work of him being the Christ, not the suffering servant, but the Christ, was now complete when he said it's finished. It means nothing needs to be added to his work or his work on Calvary in order to redeem any of mankind. It means that there's nothing else that can be done to save any sinner. He finished it right there on the cross. Now, you can't add anything to that. There's a lot of people want to add to that. Lost sinners, of course, want to add to that because they don't understand how that satisfied God. A lost sinner will attempt to add something. They'll say, yeah, Jesus was a good man, but I have to do this. Or, yes, Jesus did die on the cross for me, but I've got to do this. Some religious people will say that. They'll add good works. They'll add religious works. They'll add some kind of baptism. They'll add speaking in tongues. They'll add church membership. Lost men, religious lost people, will add things to that finished work on the cross. And look, when he said it's finished, It was finished. There's nothing you can do to add to that. And why would you? Growing up, a lost sinner as I was, and we didn't go to church. We didn't know any Christians that went to church, really. Not close. And I always thought, you know, well, in order to go to heaven, you have to be born in a good family. And you have to go to church. And you have to look right and dress right and talk right and act right and behave right. And when I looked at that, I saw salvation as impossible. Because I couldn't do those things, and neither can you. Even if you're born into a church family, you go to church, and you look right, and you act right, and you talk right, that's still not going to do any finished work. He's already done that. And you have to accept what he did, and anything more than that is self-righteousness, and God's not going to accept that. Now, Christ said it's finished. That's exactly what it meant. Now, I'll see some people sometime and I'll say, look, do you know if you died right now, you go to heaven? Well, I hope so. And I said, well, why don't you know so? And they'll say, well, I don't know if I'm good enough yet. I won't know that till I get there. And I said, then what did Jesus die for? Oh, he died for me. I said, well, what do you have to add to that? And they'll sit and think about that a minute and they'll say, well, I don't know anything I could add to that. And I said, you're exactly right. Why don't you accept his finished work and receive him as your Savior and quit trying to be your own Savior? I was walking through a mill hill one day as a young preacher on a Saturday, and I was knocking on doors. And I walked up on this elderly lady. She was sitting on her front porch. It was in the summertime. She was sitting on her front porch, and she had a Bible in her lap. I look back on it now, and I kind of, think about the Ethiopian eunuch, understandest what thou readest. So I walked up to her, and I said, "Hey, ma'am," and I introduced myself, my name, my church, and what I was out and about doing. And I said, "Do you go to church?" She said, "Yeah, I go over here to the such and such Wesleyan church." I said, "Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. I've seen that building, nice building. I'm sure there's some nice people over there." She said, "Yeah." Yeah, she said, "I'm just sitting here reading my Bible, reading my Sunday school quarterly here and with my Bible. And I try to do this. I try to keep up with the Sunday school lesson, Bible readings and stuff." And I said, "Well, that's great. That's wonderful." I said, I'm sure that helps you. But did you know there's something more important than going to church?" And she looked shocked. She said, "What would that be?" I said, "Knowing for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven." She kind of nodded her head, looking troubled, you know. And I said, "Do you know for sure if you died right now, you'd go to heaven?" She said, "No. No, I don't know for sure. I wish I did." I said, if I can take your Bible and show you how to know for sure, will you do what it says?" She said, "Well, sure I will." So I opened it up, you know, and I went through the scriptures. "A, admit you a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life." And I took her through some more scriptures, you know, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And we went through some more, Romans 10:9-10, you know, "Believe on your heart, confess with your mouth, and receive him." And then Romans 10:13, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then I read some in John 6. And then, boy, she loved it. She loved it. And then finally I asked her, I said, "Okay, after reading all this, do you know for sure if you died right now, you'd go to heaven?" She said, "Well, I don't think I'm good enough." I said, "That's not the question I ask you." I said, "According to all this, have you ever admitted you was a sinner, believed on Christ, called on him, received him as your Savior, and trusted him to take you to heaven when you die? Trust what he did already, not what you can are doing or can do." And she said, "No, I've never done that. I've asked him. I've called on him. But I've been trusting me sometimes." I said, "Well, that's good. You see that. So what you need to do today is put it all on him and his finished work." And we prayed, and she asked the Lord, forgive her for trusting herself and not trusting him. And she asked the Lord to help her to believe more. And I left and went on. And it shocked you how many people you run up on that don't know anything about what Jesus did on the cross and what that means and how that fulfilled all the prophecies and all the requirements of God for salvation, it would shock you how many people do not know about that. They've prayed a prayer, they've joined the church, they've gotten baptized, but they're not saved. Look, folks, John 6:38, Jesus said, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." He laid aside his royal robes. He laid aside his royal position as the Lord of glory. He was born for a purpose. He entered his ministry for a purpose. He walked among men for a purpose. He sweat the blood in Gethsemane's garden there for a purpose. He wore the crown of thorns for this purpose. He died on Calvary for this purpose. And so now it is finished. He lived his purpose. He died his purpose. And his purpose was to live the life you can't live, sinless, pure, and undefiled, and to die in your place as a defiled sinner, deserving of hell and the lake of fire. And that was his purpose here on planet Earth. And his purpose in the end was to die on Calvary's cross, suffer the torments of hell here on earth, and be forsaken by all, and God turned his back on him, so that God could save us for what he did. And it's finished. March 5th, 1978. That's been a long time ago. 40 something years ago. I walked down that aisle and I got down on my knees in that prayer room and I put it on him. I put my life in his hands and I put my eternity in his hands because I knew there was nothing I could do to get any better, because if I was going to be judged by what I already did, I was going to go to hell. So I put my life in his hands and I trusted his finished work, dying in my place and rising from the dead that third day to prove God had accepted the sacrifice. And I put it on him. And I've never trusted myself. I've failed so many times. And I've never trusted others. They have failed me so many times. But I trust him. I put it on him. Now if I die and go to hell, it can't happen, because he gave me his word. The God that cannot lie gave me his word that if I do that, he'd save me and he'd keep me forever. Now, is it finished for you? Have you ever seen yourself as a sinner in the sight of God deserving to go to hell? If you haven't, you need to, because all have sinned. And if you haven't, you need to, because the wages of sin is death. And if you haven't, you need to, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, because he finished the work you cannot do. And he finished it all. He finished it for me. He died for our sins. He died for our sins. But you won't experience that forgiveness until you do it personally. You wasn't born saved. Just because mom and dad saved doesn't make you saved. Going to church didn't save you. His finished work on that cross is what will save you. He came to take away your sins by shedding his precious blood. Now you've got to receive that. You've got to say, "Lord, that's what I want." And however you word it, if you'll put it on him, he'll save you. All you got to do is believe that. So if you're lost today, why don't you just finish that? Why don't you finish that life of yours and go to that new life that he has finished for you and be born again? If you're saved today, if you're really saved and you know it, why don't you share this good news? Why didn't somebody tell me this earlier in life? There's Christians that belong to our church, come to our church that I know or whatever. There's Christians that have children that they've never shared the good news with. They just expect them to turn out right. But it doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You ought to share this message with your friends and your family on Facebook. and tell them, say, look, listen to this. Jesus has finished it. He's paid it all. And all we got to do is give it to him and trust him. Won't you do that? I'll tell you what you ought to do. You're locked up. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're locked up in your house. You're hardly going out. You don't see people. You're scared when you do see them. Here's what you ought to do. Why don't you share this, your salvation experience in his finished work? Why don't you share that with somebody over the phone this week? How about sharing it through a card or a letter? If you can't word it right, get a gospel tract. We got a bunch of them. You ought to have some of them. And write a card and say, I've been praying for you. I'm concerned about you. Would you please read this little booklet? This is how I got saved. This is how I know I'm going to heaven. Or just write something in a card. You'd be surprised what. Or how about on Facebook itself? Why don't you can do what I'm doing right now. You go on there live and just give your testimony. You ain't got to preach. Just stand there and say, I want to thank God he saved me. March the 5th, 1978. He moved in my heart. The Holy Spirit drew me and I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I'm going to heaven when I die. I may not always look like it. I may not always sound like it, but I'm not trusting me. I'm trusting his finished work on the cross. And that's what this week is all about. And I'll guarantee you somebody will get convicted and somebody will get saved. You may never know it till you get to heaven. But faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I guarantee you. Now, if you're a member of our church and you're trusting anything else, you need to quit that. Today, you need to quit that and ask the Lord to forgive you for trusting anything else. Now, we'll be back tonight. But I want to pray before we go. Father, thank you for the finished work of Calvary. Thank you that Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Thank you, I've been washed in the blood, that powerful, powerful cleansing blood. And one day I'll see you face to face. And then, Lord, I pray for our church members out there today. You'd give them courage and strength and health. And I pray for that lost sinner today that you'd use this message to convict them, draw them to the Savior. Right there in their living room or wherever they're listening to this, they'd get down on their knees and make an altar right there and admit their sinner, put it all on Jesus' finished work, ask him to save them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back tonight. And share this immediately when I quit. It'll stop. You can go down the bottom page and just click share. It'll go on your page and all your friends will see it. Thank you. We'll see you tonight at 6. God bless you.
Show them my little sign.
Wait a minute. My wife stopped me.
I
got a sign.
Ladies, I want to see you. I miss you. And we can see each other. It's not that hard to do this. If you want a link to this, I sent out some this morning. Put a comment here, and I'll send you a link, and we'll try to Zoom together. We won't get it perfect today, but we'll keep doing it. I love y'all.
Bye.
That was hard.